right now and have your cell phone with you, as soon as you pull in, give a call to our membership department at 713-526-4000, extension 314.
Give me that number again.
713-526-4000, extension 314. Speak to our membership department and become a member.
Your pledge of support helps keep this valuable resource on the air. This is listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to Technology Bites, in whatever manner in which you might be listening.
List manners. It's me.
That was not over the air.
List manners in which LS-LR pipe to grep, or pipe, or grep manner.
Then found.
Go to 10.
It's going to be that kind of show.
Wow.
Group has us stuck in a loop.
Go to 10
Group
is
has
the
stuck
best.
In a loop.
Go Atari 400.
Is goto10.com available?
I bet you it's not available. Just go to 10. Just go to 10.com. 10.com. Go to go to 10.
It kind of sounds like, listen to this, just a second, listen. All right, ready? I think Peter Hughes is calling us from a plane.
Peter, are you at 30,000 feet?
Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee at ground level.
I'm Peter Hughes, also at ground level.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight, 6 feet under.
And he's?
Ruvaus.
Is Dwight's mic on?
No.
No, they had him. Y'all rotated.
Turn them all on.
You want double?
I'm not turning any of y'all on.
You turned me on, oh, dead man. You have no idea the effect you have. With great power comes a need to cover thyself. All right, well, we're glad you could tune in. It's feeling a little bit like winter, although it's warmed up a bit. It's like 50s now. Mm-hmm. It's not the kind of cold I was really becoming, you know, accustomed to.
They're saying that all the models currently, of course, this could change because weather is
the really skinny
not
models.
Exact at
models
all.
Are flaky. Yeah.
You know, models.
but they're saying that right now all the models are pointing towards Christmas Eve and Christmas being like
frozen,
really, really cold, like below freezing.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the GFS model, according to Eric Berger, says has it at 16 degrees.
Really?
Whoa. Really? So that means actual snow.
No, it just means really cold.
Doesn't mean there's precipitation.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you get
sleet.
Yeah, I heard sleet and ice maybe, but not necessarily snow.
And wow. Cracked pipes.
But anything that far out is unreliable, so.
Go to 10.org. Is a site.
Yeah, but go to 10.com is not. So
now, is it registered?
I might grab that puppy.
Groovehouse is inspired.
Wow, I already squatted it.
Did you squat?
No,
did
no,
you?
No.
Thanks, Barrett.
Is it available?
Let's see.
Our listeners may be going after
it
now.
Yeah, it might be too late.
You've got 7 seconds to go tie up that domain.
All right, well, while...
It's taken.
Oh.
Wow.
When does it expire?
Let's see.
It's domain squatting. Now that's vintage.
No, I think it's been there for a while. So.
Mm. Well, you never know. All right. Well, you can visit us online at geekradio.com. There's no go to 10 there, but you can still check it out. And we hang out on the IRC, irc.cuckoo.com, and the channel Tech Bytes. You can use your own IRC client and connect to irc.cuckoo.com, or you can use the client we have on our website.
GoToTen.com was registered in 2004.
Okay. When does it expire?
I might have done
2015.
That. Okay. So they're going to keep it for a while. You can also contact us via the phones at 713-526-5738. Have a nice chat with Groovehouse. He's very talky. Once he gets going...
Now, actually, the better one would be 10, go to 10. That would be...
It's too complicated. Go to 10 is just...
No, 10, go to 10 is... That's a loop. That is a loop.
Go to 10 is a loop.
10, go to 10.
Anytime you
Because you could have 5.
Y'all stop arguing about languages. 10 go to 10 is in basic.
Can you reference? Can
and
you actually
to,
in basic?
Go to 10 is in Unix shell.
Oh, I'm thinking basic. Oh, but 10 go to 10 exists. It's Swedish. Somebody in Sweden has it.
Is it a death metal band?
Actually, it resolves to concorrenten.se.
What does that mean?
I have no idea, but here.
You said it so, like, excitedly, like you knew something.
No. It means competitor.
It means 10 go to 10.
The competitor.
All right, well, I'm going to go to sleep.
Thank you for listening.
All right. So like I said, you can visit us online at geekradio.com. There we have all the information about stuff that we do, which is mostly just the show and the monthly Geek Gathering, which we had this past Friday, which was awesome because there was fire. Not like out of control fire, but just fire. They had a bird bath with wood in it, and they were burning it. And there's a guy out there just kind of tending the fire.
And we got to see Khan chopping wood.
Wow. Action Con.
Yes.
That's right. He was chopping wood.
Singing I'm a Lumberjack with an axe
in
his hand.
That's right. And I said, so you keep an axe behind the bar? He said, I do. So keep that in mind if you're at cons.
He said, he tasks me and I will have him.
But it was a good Geek Gathering. It was cold, but there was plenty of room inside, and everybody was just kind of in the warmth, but then stepping outside to be by the fire. It was, fire is the original technology. It really is.
Just y'all had already left, but the band was playing.
They were actually very good.
Yes, and, they were good.
And then they, in the middle, one of the guys was like, hey, is Afflicted here?
Really?
Yeah,
and I raised my hand, and he was like, cool. You're You're the only person I could remember on the show.
And the one most likely to like that band.
And I did. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, they were good.
And the
they
one
were
most
good.
Likely to still be there.
Yeah, Barrett and I stayed for a long time.
Oh, nice. Romantic, even. Yeah, but it was a good geek gathering. Glad for everyone that came out and hung out with us. It was very low key, but very pleasant. And the cold just kind of, you know, made being in close proximity to other human beings pleasant. You know, the smells were all masked by the smoke.
It knocked down
the smell. Yeah, the cold weather and the smoke wafting in from the fire in the fire pit, it all made it very pleasant. All right, so we're going to do this show. We're going to do a show next week, and then the following Wednesday is Christmas, right? A week from next week?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We won't be here for Christmas.
Right. They're going That's your to Christmas be... present.
We're going to prison.
Yeah, you're going to prison. With
so our Christmas show will be the week before.
Our Christmas show will be next week.
Right.
Ho, ho, ho. All right, so you got that to look forward to. All right, well, I'm going to turn it over now to the Technology Bytes InfoShot live from San Antonio via the Skypes. Take it away, InfoShot.
It's the Technology Bytes InfoShot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Okay, well, there's not lots of, you know, one of the things as you get close to Christmas is, of course, not lots of technology news. So I'm going to give you all bad news, horrible news, and then some like new research news. Here's the bad news. Everyone aboard the International Space Station is safe. That's not the bad news. But NASA is working to solve a problem that has shut down part of the station's cooling system, the space agency said today. Ouch. One of two ammonia loops that keep equipment both outside and inside the ISS cool had unexpectedly shut down earlier Wednesday because of lower than expected temperatures outside. I didn't really think about it, the temperature, you know, changing outside the International Space Station. But apparently that's the case. According to Josh Byerly, NASA spokesperson at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, when Loop A shut down, ground crews were able to get pumps back up and running and put everything inside and outside the station on Loop B. But the second loop was not able to handle the increased load, and as a result, crews had to shut down some of the station's system. Byerly said the station has never had a problem like this before, but added that neither the crew nor the station itself are in any kind of danger. But he added this is something they have to get fixed. They don't know how long it'll take to fix it, but the spokesperson added that the ISS can continue to operate, albeit with reduced functions, until crews figure out the answer. So I guess it's kind of an incentive thing for them. In other bad news, so you can't go out to space to get away from things, and here's something you may be wanting to get away from in space if you are a prepper, a doomsday prepper, or other kind of like extreme worrier. You know, there's the massive supervolcano under Yellowstone National Park. You've probably heard about that. You know, which has the potential to unleash a planet-altering eruption. That's not the bad. That's not the scary news part. The interesting. It's not. You know, don't go running around in panic. A team of researchers from the University of Utah has just discovered that the volcano's magma chamber is about 2.5 times bigger than earlier believed. So, in other words, it was like a massive supervolcano before. Now it is 2.5 times the massive supervolcano it was before. It's estimated to be over 55 miles in length, containing 200 to 600 cubic kilometers of molten rock. The findings on this will be presented at the American Geophysical Union fall meeting in San Francisco, where they will outline how, if the volcano ever erupts, the results would be catastrophic for the world. Speaking to BBC News, Professor Bob Smith said, quote, "We've always thought it would be bigger, but this finding is astounding." They mapped it with a network of seismometers situated around the park. Dr. Jamie Farrell from the University of Utah said, quote, "We record earthquakes in and around Yellowstone, and we measure the seismic waves as they travel through the ground." The waves travel slower through hot and partially molten material, so that's how they measured it. The last major eruption occurred 640,000 years ago and sent ash across the whole of North America, affecting the planet's climate. It's unclear when the Yellowstone supervolcano will erupt again, but scientists believe we're overdue for an eruption by 60,000 years. You can only use the time between eruptions to work out the frequency. So in a sense, you only have two numbers to get to that 700,000-year figure, according to Professor Bob Smith. So they only have two data points. So it's not like it's not like that it's regular as clockwork, and now we're 60,000 years late. So you can worry about that one, about being covered in hot magma from Yellowstone, or it may make your trip to Yellowstone a lot more, I don't know, nerve-wracking if you worry about it. Okay, now on to they were just interesting stories that happened to come up right now. A few months ago, there was a story about MIT researchers had figured out a way to use Wi-Fi to track moving objects through walls, to track where people were in their house kind of thing. Today, the same team announced that they've refined their system to be much more precise by switching to radio signals instead of Wi-Fi. The system known as Y-Track works with the help of four antennae. One transmits a signal, and the other three take in the signals that bounce back. Based on how long it takes the signal to return, it can calculate an object's distance from the antenna, and it can map the movement. Graduate student Fidel Adib said in a release, "Because of the limited bandwidth, you can't get very high location accuracy using Wi-Fi signals. Y-Track transmits a very low-power radio signal, 100 times smaller than Wi-Fi and 1,000 times smaller than what your cell phone can transmit," unquote. So it won't give you, brain damage to use it like holding your cell phone to your head. Along with improving the precision of the tracking to 4 to 8 inches, Y-Track's advantage over the earlier Wi-Fi, I guess WIVI, I'm not sure how they're pronouncing it, technology unveiled in June, is that it can track three-dimensional movement and pinpoint someone's exact location in a room. The prior one only indicated how far a person was from the antenna. So it could that could lead to interesting, interesting things for games, or in the future for, monitoring where people are in a space for either security or other reasons. Unlike the Wi-Fi thing, Y-Track can only track one person at a time. The researchers will be working on adding tracking more than one person in the future. But interesting technology, and of course the having everybody knows about sensors and that kind of thing, and your burglar sensors for alarm systems in your house. None of those are sophisticated enough for really serious home automation, where something like this could, because it could know, it could really know where you were in the house and stuff like that. Or your house could turn on you and track you down. So if you want to be scared of that one, you can. And then there are some new products out, or some new things happening. Linux-based SteamOS, digital game purveyor Steam, has revealed that that 300 beta Steam Machine gaming hardware suites will be shipped to selected participants on Friday, December 13th. The 300 recipients will be informed today at about 2 p.m. Pacific time. That was around 4 o'clock our time. So if you haven't heard, you don't have to keep waiting. You know you're not going to get it. That they're recipient of the hardware, as well as a collection of games that run natively on SteamOS. Qualified users have less than a 0.070% chance, so 0.07 of a percent of a chance of being selected for the trial. The other thing is, the company did note they changed the terms of the offer to only U.S. participants because of regulatory concerns. That's only about the 300 prototype units. The commercial versions of Steam machines that are for sale in 2014 won't be affected by it. The Steam OS will be made available to others to try when the prototype hardware ships to the testers. Steam recommends that, quote, unless you're an intrepid Linux hacker already, we're going to recommend you wait until later in 2014 to try it out, unquote. So keep that in mind if you're going to try to set up Steam OS on your Linux box. And finally, Google has formally introduced Chrome apps for OS X, enabling the web-coded apps to, quote, behave and feel, unquote, like native software on Macs. Titles can be placed on the dock or searched for by name and Spotlight, opening in separate Chrome windows that omit the search bar tabs and other browser-specific features. Chrome apps are automatically placed together in a launcher utility for quick access, organized in a grid layout that pops up after clicking on the dock icon, kind of like if you're using a Mac, a lot like Launchpad sort of thing. Google wrote in a blog post, Chrome apps work offline, update automatically, and sync to any computer where you're signed into Chrome so you can pick up where you left off. Basically, it kind of gives you a Chrome OS-esque experience on whatever different devices you're using. And now they've added some things the Chrome apps for OS X. Search company has organized apps into a dedicated four-year desktop collection in the Chrome Web Store, highlighting apps' offline capabilities. Content includes a wide range of games, along with productivity utilities such as Autodesk, Pixlr, WeVideo Next, and SmartSheet. And I'm Peter Hughes, and that's the InfoShot News.
This new ending is confusing to me. We're not prepared.
Oh, well, that's better than the one I was thinking was. And finally, back to you, Jay.
Yeah, no one expects
Peter Hughes. The Technology Bites InfoShot ending.
Ending.
Years and years of tradition. He's just throwing it out the window. Now, this looks dangerous to me.
Barrett's setting himself up. Barrett for his has next got notebook.
His got his drink that's not in the studio, sitting on my headphone cable.
So right next to his phone and his computer. There, so.
It was going
to
be a major disaster here. Aside from the weekly disaster.
Can I see your Nexus 5 there?
All right, the phone number here is 713-526-5738. As Dwight fondles Barrett's technology.
Yeah, actually, I want to look at that too. I was going to buy one, and then I decided that I was not going to spend the
gorgeous
money.
Gorgeous screen.
Are you looking to replace your iPhone?
Well, you know, I was going to buy the next generation iPhone, and then the 5S came out, and I was like, eh. Because I'm going to pay full price for it.
Right.
So I get it unlocked and everything. I'm like, man, $750? Like, it's just not, no, it's not worth that. And so then I was like, oh, maybe I'll buy a Firefox phone, but the ones that have come out are kind of low-end hardware. They kind of sucked. And then the Nexus 5 was coming out. I'm like, oh, I'll wait for that and see. And then when it finally released and they had the prices and the specs, I was like, oh, I'm going to buy one of those. But then I realized it was November, and it was getting close to Christmas, and so I decided not to spend $350 on something for myself right now.
This is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Even though it belongs to Barrett?
It's still beautiful. It's
still got all of its pieces.
Is it missing one of the keys on the digital keyboard?
One of the
virtual keyboard.
So supposedly the camera in this is not good.
Well, the camera, so the 442 release that came out yesterday.
Right. You have it?
Yeah. I put it on there. Uh-huh. Supposedly a lot of the camera issues, I mean, the hardware was so-so. They fixed a lot of the issues in the software.
Right.
So the white balance is supposed to be taken care of, like all the purple.
But they didn't actually put a very good camera in it?
Well, like, they didn't put like a 30 megapixel camera in there. It's like a 10 megapixel camera. So it's so-so. It's not,
10 is still nice, but the megapixel is not how you determine if it's any good or not. Dwight's giving it his professional testing by taking a picture of us in the studio.
This is not. Yeah, the color isn't great.
Let me see.
See what you think of that. That's the net we're looking at. That's an LG phone, right? LG
yes.
Nexus 5.
Yeah, I think they built the last
one. I do like the display, though. That's nice and
it's
big.
A beautiful display. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really hoping that the iPhone 6 is much bigger than the 5. And all indications are that they're going to move that way. There's been some discussion that they're actually going to update the 5 format, which is 4 inches, and then introduce a new
So at that point,
high end, there'll actually be more.
Are Apple employees gonna
13-inch one?
I was gonna say at that point, are Apple employees gonna go around breaking all the owners' thumbs and extending them so their bones grow back, so their thumbs are longer? Because you know that was the big pitch. Is
comes with Apple.
We're not gonna make
it
any bigger
care.
Because yeah. you know your thumb can't reach across that anyway.
That's Apple Care plus plus.
They're gonna sell you the new wearable iThumb.
The thumb extension.
I do like how you know the viewfinder, that is the display. It looks real good in that. But it's unfortunate if the, I mean, I really kind of coming to like the camera in my iPhone.
Yeah,
the,
there's kind of an orangey, and it's a little, looks a little grainy to me, the finished.
It was well, like, when he took the picture, it was kind of like Jersey Shore Jay.
Yeah, right, right. But it's just.
Again, and it makes you guys look all like old and geeky. Oh, wait. That can't be the case.
Now, how do I get back to the pictures, though?
Oh, scroll.
Nice. Okay.
Swipe
even.
Swipe or no swipe.
That's nice. You can swipe between the live preview, and you just swipe the preview, and you go to the pictures that you've taken. That's
if
very
you distract
nice.
Barrett, you can swipe the whole phone.
Yeah, that's very nice. So the next one of those will be awesome. But it's got a nice. I like the display. I like that big screen.
And I like the material. It feels very, feels good in your hand.
The HDR camera was off before, so now this is like the high def.
So did they go with the satiny back on that one?
Yes, kind of, yeah.
It's
kind
of like over a rubberized.
Rubberized feel.
It reminds me of the IBM PowerBooks.
Okay.
And they just came out with a white Nexus, didn't they? Isn't there a white Nexus?
So what did you turn on or off?
A setting called HDR. It's
you
like the high
definition.
I turned it on.
No, HDR.
What does HDR mean?
High dynamic range. So what it does
it takes
is it actually
three pictures, right?
Well, it's to do it right, you take three pictures, and then
it like super enhances hair follicles.
No, it actually comes out a lot grainier. I think. Oh. Did it work?
What I don't. I like? Took four pictures. I don't think it did anything. I just figured HD. You know.
No, HDR is high dynamic range as opposed to
it's
high
like,
definition.
If you see, it got really popular a couple years ago as a format. So when you started seeing, like especially on like Wired or a lot of magazines, like the covers, they started doing portrait pictures in HDR. And so like everybody's, like if it was a guy, like their stubble just looked like super enhanced. And the color on skin tone and faces were, it looks different.
It's, I do a little bit of HDR work. I always tend to take three exposures in certain situations just to have them, but then I'll blend them and come up with some pretty good results. But it depends on how you tweak it too. You can just get some of it looks just really nasty, just over enhanced, you know, like whiskers and things like that. But if you do it right, it can come out good. All right, 713-526-5738, if you want to tell us about your new phone or talk to us about a problem you're having with computer-related technology or phone technology, we'd be happy to have that conversation with you. All the lines are open. We've got a half hour before we have to take a break. So if you wanted to call in tonight, we would welcome your call at 713-526-KPFT here at the studio. Phone lines are quiet. You know, traffic seems a little quieter. People are, I guess, getting geared up for the holidays. Still recovering from Thanksgiving.
Is there anything? Nothing happening tonight, right? That's unless everyone's in their bomb shelter waiting for the International Space Station to fall on them, maybe. So.
Dang!
Or the super volcano under Yellowstone.
I love the super volcano under Yellowstone. Have you been to Yellowstone, Pete?
No, sadly not.
Oh, man, it is just,
I
it's
went,
the
like,
most amazing
20
place
years
on Earth.
Ago.
It's really astounding. And I can see it, like, blowing up. It's just, it is like one big volcano. So, I don't want it to happen, but I certainly can see it.
You could, huh?
Yeah. If you go to my Flickr account, I've got a bunch of pictures from when I went there.
Did it blow up before? It
I
blew
don't
up in the 60s or in the 50s?
No,
now,
it's
the last
never,
time
when
the
it blows,
a little
it
bit.
Blows
little
up
was like 700,000 years ago.
Yeah, no, it
or maybe a small one. Wasn't there a small minor explosion at Yellowstone?
There's Mount St. You thinking of Mount St. Helens?
Oh no, I know that. That was 1980.
Yeah,
you think about the one in Iceland?
No, hold on. We're talking about Old Faithful, right?
Oh, geysers.
Geysers, yeah. Apparently the
that
geysers
goes off every
some...
hour. It's not really.
No. Apparently. Like,
oh my God! It's about to go. Okay, just wait.
In the '60s, like it's always. It was like Old Faithful, so we go off every 30 minutes. But there was some kind of incident in the '50s or the '60s where it didn't go off. People were like, "What's going on?" And people got up to investigate, and it went off a lot more than it usually did. And people, you know, loss of life, that kind of thing. I believe.
Hmm.
Probably not the same thing P was talking about, mm-hmm. but.
You know, the Super Bowl, when it goes, it'll like.
It's
leave
the whole
a big,
place is
going right.
to go. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like one big volcano, essentially.
If you're worried it's going to go, I suggest go and hang out right on top of it because you don't want to be there afterwards.
Right.
Or be most anywhere on this side of the planet, I think, afterwards.
Welcome to Nissan's most memorable.
Hey! Oh! Look out. Hit the dump button.
Did you dump that? Did you get it? Now?
I'm keeping that.
Nice.
Was that a pop-up ad? What was that?
It was just some tab in my browser that has been sitting there for a while, and then I guess decided suddenly to play. Weird.
That is weird. Weird stuff. All right. Well, we got phone calls coming in. That's
Yay.
Good. We could probably take line one since Groovehouse is chatting on line three. Barrett, you want to?
Sure thing.
No, I didn't say line three. I said.
Let's take line
three. Okay, Technology Bites, you're on the air. I said hit line one since Groovehouse was on
all
line
three. All I heard
three.
Was three. I'm sorry.
Do
you want to take him or
go ahead?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
That's efficient, isn't it?
I have a quick question for you. If I was looking for a product a couple months ago, and I didn't see anything recent on the market. I saw some old stuff that wasn't really quality stuff, and it was basically related to just those little tablets that you can write on. I was wondering if they've advanced to be like just standard ubiquitous resistant screen technology, so you can kind of get a display that's on your tablet or your phone if you're trying to maybe work with any kind of applications that are similar to that, but you know, on a full-blown PC. Is there anything you can plug into your PC that will let you use it like a smartphone with a display and, you know, extend your display and input capabilities like a phone or a tablet. Thanks.
Well, you can buy.
Did he hang up?
Yeah. You can buy touch enabled notebook computers, and there are touch enabled monitors, but there's nothing that you can put on an existing system that I'm aware of that will do that, or is there?
There's some stuff, but it's very hackery. I know Adafruit, if you're still listening, if you surf out to adafruit.com, they've got some, you know, like resistive displays that you can hook up. People have, like, you know, hooked up and programmed stuff for it.
Right.
But you have to be adept at being able to work with that kind of stuff.
Right.
I think there's also a Wacom tablet that's got the screen on it that has some of that kind of interactive.
Yes, actually, our cartoonist, Nick Anderson at the Chronicle, does his cartoons on one of those. It's essentially a screen that you can draw on, and he actually does his cartoons on those. So, yes, I've said, but again, that's kind of a niche product, and it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, I really wish he hadn't hung up because we could have asked him what the heck he was trying to do.
Well, or I guess the other alternative is there some of the new like Windows computers. There, I saw one today. I was at the store, and it really struck me because it was I believe a Dell that can be a desktop, or you can like pick the thing up like a tablet and hold the monitor and use the touchscreen on it with, you know, like as if it was a ginormous, you know, 24-inch iPad.
Hmm. All right, well, we will not touch the phones again, will we, Barrett?
I will not touch the phones again. The light was blinking on three. I just don't want to touch the blinky lights.
No, I figured that Groovehouse was, you know, taking the call on line three and...
Oh, I knew I was pushing the wrong button as
threw
I did
the whole
it,
rhythm just... of the show off.
Yeah, Barrett, don't touch. You are not to touch line one.
And back to you, Pete.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us. We do have two calls in the queue, and Groovehouse is going to present them to us properly in a moment. But if you wanted to get in the queue to be on the air with us, we've got plenty of time and plenty of open lines at 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up?
Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Kavian.
Kavian, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. What's up?
You know, radio, computers, that kind of
stuff. Yeah, I know exactly how that is. Well, I'm a chess teacher. That's what I do. And I recently picked up a Nexus 7 so I can use it for, like, you know, plug it in to through the SlimPort adapter and then have that hook up to HDMI or whatever that is. Are you guys familiar with that technology?
You picked up a... What is it again?
Yeah, it's the Nexus 7 2013 Full HD Edition, you know, by Google.
Tablet,
it's
yeah.
It's a 7-inch tablet. And basically what Google is doing is they have this SlimPort technology that instead of MHL, which puts, you know, micro USB into a HDMI signal, they have what's called SlimPort. And basically it's supposed to be better than MHL. It doesn't draw any power and all this stuff and whatever. So basically I got the Nexus 7 mainly to use that for my teaching and stuff like that. And
so you're
going to
plug it into a monitor
for my Nexus 5 and the Nexus 4, and it works fine. And then I got the Nexus 7, and I'm hooking up SlimPort to that and, you know, doing the same thing that I'm doing everywhere else, and it just doesn't work. And I did a lot of, I did some Googling and like a lot of people are having the problem, but there's no real answer to it. And some people are like, you know, some people have it just fine. Like on YouTube, there's a guy who just plugs it in and just beams up right away. And I'm just like, oh, wow.
So you're basically, you're plugging it into this thing that's allowing you to send whatever's on the screen of the Nexus over to an external monitor via HDMI.
Exactly. You plug it in basically through the micro USB port with an adapter, with the SlimPort adapter, and then plug that into your HDMI cable and hook the HDMI up to a screen or whatever, and it should display it there.
In my experience with some of the Android phones, you had to switch between how you were going to send stuff to the USB port depending on what you were going to use the USB port for. Like,
okay.
I remember when I had my... when I had my Galaxy S3, there was a setting that I had to change on the USB when I wanted to connect it to a Windows computer and browse the files.
Yes, I'm familiar with what you mean, but the Nexus product, the Nexus line, Google is incorporating this new technology called SlimPort, and it's supposed to replace MHL, and it's supposed to be just plug and play. And I'm plugging and playing on my Nexus 5 and Nexus 4, but not on the Nexus 7. You know, I heard you guys talking about that.
What are you plugging it into? To an HDTV?
Yes.
Is the HDTV 1080 or is it 720?
I'm pretty sure it's 1080. I've tried it on several TVs, and you know, on my Nexus 5 that I have, and the Nexus 4 that I had previously, it worked.
Have you
on
tried
all of those fine.
Different HDMI cables, just in case?
Yeah, I've tried like 4 different cables.
Yeah, there's a ton of posts on Google. I did Nexus 7 SlimPort problem, and there's lots of results. I'm not seeing a...
and the weird thing is that I don't see any answer to that. And then, like, you know, on YouTube, it's supposed to confirm it's working, and some guy plugs it right in and just, like, has no problem, you know? And it's kind of frustrating, but I'm thinking... I plug it in one time, and it flickered for, like, 1.5 seconds, and then went off, and then I really couldn't get it to do it anymore. And I'm the kind of person that, with techie things, I just sit there until I can figure it out and make it work, and I just...
Are you trying to, like, show a chess app to students, or are you
I put my lesson plans on the Nexus 7, and then boom, 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 boom.
Through an application, or through, like, a web page, or through what?
Yeah, through an app, or whatever. You know, like, sometimes my students go to tournaments, and so I want to do a tournament report, and I'll show them a video from the tournament, and, you know, so whatever.
Yeah. One kind of cool thing that works really nice for the Nexus 7, Chromecast. So you could plug Chromecast anything that has an HDMI port, you know, like your TV. And then you don't have to have that wire. Downside is you've got to have Wi-Fi, so it's going to draw the battery out a little bit more. And then it only works with, like, you know, like Chrome and YouTube and just a handful of apps versus every single app that you've got on your Nexus 7.
Exactly. Yeah, and then I also heard bad reviews about Chromecast for some reason. I
like it. I think it depends on where you set your expectations, but for the price and for what it does, it's nice because I would never want to go plug in wires between the TV and the you know, the tablet. That would just get old after a while.
Yeah, other than that, I don't know. You got anything, Pete?
No, I mean, there's some people have had luck with different cables, and some brands of TVs seem to have trouble with it versus others. But there's no there just seems to be nothing but months of people having problems similar to what you're describing.
That's so strange that so many people are having the problem, and I didn't know I can't find not one Googleable fix.
Is your TV a Samsung? You said you've tried it in different monitors and different TVs.
Yeah, I don't even use it on the TV at home. I use them on the school TVs, which are all like, you know, good TVs.
So. I mean, is it possible that this part of the device is malfunctioning? Have you contacted Google or whatever their support is on this? I mean, if this is something that the device is supposed to support and it's not working on any device that you, any external device you're connecting it to, you may have a defective piece of hardware.
Yeah, I totally considered that angle, except for that, you know, I was like, well, it's brand new. And then also I plugged it in for a second. And like I plugged it in, and for like a second, it popped up it showed what it was on the screen, and then it flickered and
see. I wondered if it just shorted
it and said that lot of people are having the same problem.
I wonder if it just shorted out. I mean, there's not unfortunately there's not a Google story you can go into.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, I popped it in, it flickered for like a second. You know, and then I think I duplicated that phenomenon for after another 10 tries, and then
it strikes me that if it's trying to send something to the external display and then it's failing, that it really sounds like hardware to me. Now tried different cables?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It's really sounding like perhaps you've just got a faulty port, that it's like it's catching part of the signal, it's trying to send it, but it's bombing out. So the way you're describing it, it sounds like a hardware failure to me.
Yeah, and I would totally agree with that if there weren't so many, you know.
Well, I mean, it could be that a lot of people are having issues because, like Pete said, a lot of people are complaining, no answers yet. So it could be a widespread hardware problem that Google just hasn't acknowledged, done a recall on yet. I mean, that's how Apple stuff started out. You know, just a whole bunch of rumors. Like,
well, I had the same problem with my S3. I mean, it was a lot of people reporting problems with the GPS, and finally Samsung or whoever said that, yeah, we've got a problem with that hardware.
Raise the flag. You know, give them a call and say, hey, this is happening.
So yeah.
If no one does anything, sure, it's going to continue to go on. The other thing you might want to try, just maybe try a hardware reset, like a hard reset on the device, and just see in case it's some software setting that detected and flipped over. But
yeah, that's okay. That's a good idea, too.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
All right, well, good luck, and I appreciate your call.
Oh, okay, thank you very much. You guys have a great night.
All right, thank you. All right, next call, Groovehouse.
All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with Lori.
Lori, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Gentlemen, yes, we're good.
Hey, I have an iPhone 3, and sometimes when I try to watch stuff on YouTube, it says it's not supported by it. Is there something I could do?
An iPhone 3?
Uh-huh.
Watching YouTube videos? Like
is that in the browser or using the YouTube app?
I'm using the YouTube app.
Some videos that you come across, it'll say, like, this video not authorized for your playback on mobile devices. Is it anything like that?
I get that, but sometimes it doesn't formatted.
Does it play some videos?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would think that it would work with the app. You know, regardless of the phone platform. What iOS are you up to?
Oh, I've never updated it, so it's just what it is.
It just is what it is. The only thing, I haven't talked to anybody who's still using an iPhone 3 and watching YouTube videos. It hasn't come up. I'm sure there are people that are doing it or attempting to do it. But if I had to guess, this is going to be the if I had to guess show. If I had to guess, it's just that the phone is too old for the way that the content is being delivered now, that it's just not compatible with your device.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you would really probably just be a lot happier if you got yourself even an iPhone 4.
Yes, I'm working on that. I might just wait until something new comes out and just kind of skip over that. But
it sounds like you skipped it a few times already, so.
Yeah, several times.
I can't even imagine trying to make an iPhone 3 or iPhone 3 work with current stuff. It might just be kind of. Didn't you have an iPhone 3 up till recently, Flicted?
I had a 3GS.
3GS, okay.
Yeah, I had a 3GS. But then I bought a 4S. So I've had the 4S for 2 years.
Yeah.
I bought it, I guess, right when they came out.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you except get a new phone.
Yeah, okay.
You're the trailing edge of the bell curve. That's the edge that Apple doesn't really care about anymore. Yeah. It seems like.
It's unfortunate, but that's true. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, my friend Ralph Logan emailed me. He actually contacted me at the end of the show last week and forgot to get in early, but he had a great story, and I want to share it with you. It's when we were in Ireland, and I met up with Ralph because he was there on a consulting gig, and he told me the story of how he and a bunch of his friends had gone out to do what people do in Ireland at night in pubs, and that's drink, and managed to lose his iPhone. So he lost his iPhone. He couldn't find it. Nobody turned it in or anything. And looks like just this last November, and we were there several months ago, and then November, somebody emailed, he put a message on the phone saying, you know, contact me if you find my phone. So somebody emails him. So he gets this email. It says, hi, Ralph. My name is Lee, and I work for a company in Belfast, which specializes in mobile technician repairs, replace, etc. A few days ago, a guy came in with what is believed to be your phone to get it unlocked or used as parts. But upon opening the phone, we came across your name and have been trying to track you down. I'd like to return the phone to you, but I need to take verification steps. Can you please forward on the following information, Apple ID and password.
Yeah, hold on one second.
A list of 5 contact numbers you would have used prior to the phone being lost. Your full name, phone number, and full address. Lee Cork, RTP General Manager. He says, well, this is obviously an idiot. The new iPhones require the Apple ID and password to reinstall the operating system, which is a security feature that keeps the ankle biters from just overwriting the installed OS. My reply on Twitter, thanks, I'm on travel currently and don't have my Gmail account info handy. Back home tomorrow and I'll reply. So this is where I started my investigation. I found him. Turns out Lee Cork in Belfast is actually Martin, last name withheld, in Dublin, Ireland. I tracked down his home address, mobile phone number, workplace address, phone number, family members, and girlfriend in 2 weeks. So Martin emails Martin back, says, firstly, you can drop the idiotic pretense of being Lee Cork in Belfast. You are Martin, name withheld, in Dublin. Secondly, I know you acquired my stolen phone as I've been investigating you for weeks now. The bad news for you is worse than just being out of pocket some money. The bad news is that you've acquired stolen property that is owned by a very capable and determined professional security investigator. Whether or not that's true about Ralph remains to be seen, but it sounds good on paper.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah. It's what I do for a living, and it is. It actually is what he does for a living. So it says, it's what I do for a living. I currently have enough evidence to roll up and remand you into custody anytime I want. However, I've taken this a bit personally and don't want to involve the Irish local authorities just yet. I'm quite enjoying watching you. You are my little remote rat scurrying around like an idiot with Emer, I don't know what that is. Oh, editor girlfriend, and Jay, editor brother, trying to make sense of everything. Imagine my delight when I discovered that you are quite the simple lad. Here's what I've decided to do. I'm literally giving you until Wednesday, December 4th, to take my phone and drop it with the receptionist at name withheld at the following address withheld. You can tell the receptionist any story you like, but have her label the phone for me and as the head of security at the location who I happen to be visiting while I was, label it for the head of security at that place where he was visiting while he was in Dublin. He will get it back to me. Martin, I want you to think carefully about your actions. Consider the folly of acquiring stolen merchandise. If my phone isn't returned by December 4th, the consequences will be dire. My colleagues in Dublin have been begging me to give them permission to pitch up and retrieve my phone from you or your brother, Jay or sister, Carly or Mum or Pam. So far, let's keep this easy and tidy and we'll not go on about it. The timer has started. His response, December 2nd. Okay, fair enough. I'll drop the phone over by tomorrow. It's just hard to lose out on the 300 euros before Christmas due to a scam. iPhone 5 was returned to my colleague's workplace December 3rd, undamaged and ready to be shipped back to me.
Wow.
So but now the scammers, when they find your phone or you steal your phone, then they try to let you know that, oh, we're going to send it back to you, but we need this information. And somebody might have fallen for that. You know?
I'm sure they do.
Oh, yeah.
People are happy to get their phone back, and I'll prove it's mine.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes to prove that that's my phone. Sure, here's my Apple ID. Send me my phone. Oh, God. My account's been racked up for a number of apps. But yeah, I mean, that's because they're making it harder and harder to take over a stolen device, which is good. They're going to have to find new ways to try to get past you. This guy doesn't sound too sympathetic. I mean, he tried hard to scam Ralph out of the information that we take. He knew, had to know the phone was stolen because he couldn't get into it. So whether he bought it, you know, under some pretense or whatever, he still shouldn't have bought it. Like that guy that called last week who had the iPhone and he didn't have the passcode for it. All right, so, you know, don't buy stolen iPhones or any kind of stolen hardware.
Don't
or
steal. Anything.
Don't steal iPhones.
Don't steal, period.
Apple picking, that's what they call it now. You heard that term? Like you're talking on your phone and somebody runs up behind you and snatches the device out of your hands and runs away. It's Apple picking.
And then they clock you in the jaw.
Yeah, in fact,
apple picking knockout game.
On the, if you're at the train stations along the light rail, they have a sign that says, you know, if keep your smartphone, if you're not using it, keep it out of sight. Don't let anyone see it.
Yeah.
No so. Key users need not worry.
That's right.
Palm users need not apply.
Flip phone users need not worry.
All right, phone number here is 713-526-5738. We've got about 10 minutes before we have to take a short station business break, but we can certainly probably entertain a call or so if you have a quick question. Otherwise, you might want to get in the queue for the second hour of the show. If nothing else, we'll be going until 10 o'clock tonight, Central Standard Time, and it will be pure entertainment. Tell us your story of recovering a phone. 713-526-5738. What's that, Dwight?
No, I was just laughing at the story. I think that I would love to see the cell phone manufacturers do something like seriously real to stop
the
thefts. You know,
it should be impossible to activate that phone by anyone other than the owner,
right,
or some way that the owner could transfer ownership to someone else.
New York and San Francisco like demanded that the cell phone industry do something. And apparently there is kill switch technology out there, but the carriers are fighting it because it cuts into their insurance sales when somebody loses a phone and they come back and they buy a new phone.
Yeah, they can buy, yeah. That's a revenue stream.
It is a revenue stream. Well, and so they're hesitant to do it, but that's just like incredibly greedy.
Well, even the, you know, my phone broke when the power button or whatever this is on the top that puts it to sleep stopped working. And I have the insurance on this phone. It was still going to cost me like $250 to, because they were going to have to replace it.
Right.
They couldn't fix that part. Now, I meant to say, I did talk with the guy at the Apple store when I was getting my MacBook Air repaired, and they're doing repairs there, and they can only fix things like broken screens and that kind of stuff. If you have one of the problems that is not, that they can't fix, then you're talking about a phone replacement. But even then, the phone replacement is on par or less than what the insurance companies charge you.
Right.
So Apple may be cutting into the vendor's ability to sell insurance if people kind of figure this out. Now, they can't do the 5S yet, but they can do all the way up to the 5 at the Apple store. And Ralph just sent me a message that says, just a reminder to don't go drinking with the Roger Waters crew in Dublin. That's where he got into trouble. Trying to keep up with those guys. But yeah, I mean, it seems to me that there are going to be some better options and, you know, for getting your phone repaired. I don't know why. I'm going to have to cancel my insurance on my phone because it's ridiculous.
Can you cancel it? It's not part of your contract?
I don't think it's part of the contract. It never has been. Have you done insurance before?
No, usually I've never done
it. You can drop it. It's a feature. You can drop it whenever you care to. I mean, it's handy. I mean, if the phone goes away completely, if it gets, that's what probably what I should have done. Then I could have just had two phones.
See, I think that's the best thing is if the phone is completely destroyed or gets stolen, then you get a cheaper replacement. But if it's repair, then usually it's going to cost you
the replacement
with
charge,
the insurance, as it would have without.
Right. Well, if you're going to talking about dealing with Apple, if you go to Apple to get it repaired and they just don't replace it with a refurbished model, if they can't fix it, and then their price, they sell it to you for their cost, so it's like $250 for an iPhone 5 or something like that. So it's ridiculous. The insurance companies are, it's kind of a scam, I think. All right. Well, we are rapidly running out of time here in the first hour of the show, but it's that weird spot where we still got enough time to fill and struggle to find something to fill it with. Just hear those sleigh bells ringing, that ting, ting,
we
ting.
We can play the song.
That'll save us next week.
Pete got anything?
Pete, deliver. Come on.
Pete, make your dog spark.
Give us another Nissan ad.
Give us a squeaky door.
Actually, I do have a music recommendation for people of a certain bent. There's actually a Bad Religion Christmas album.
Really?
And it's straightforward. I mean, they don't do it subversive. They're not like rewriting the lyrics, except they are Bad Religion songs. I mean, it's played. It's their guitars, their harmonies, and actually, I've been really enjoying it.
Wow!
They just came out with it this October, so it's brand new.
Available on iTunes or something?
Yeah.
I like Bad Religion.
Yeah, all the music outlets that you know online and so on that
they're so articulate. They have to. They almost sound like they're struggling to get all the syllables for the words they're using into a verse. But I love Bad Religion. All right, 713-526-5738. As we wind down the first hour of the show, we will be looking for content for the second half of our show. You could be the content, and I'm waiting to hear the.
Call in and get our best guesses.
Guess the best guess show. Thanks, Pete. Thanks so much.
Well, I've been guessing with the rest of you. So not like I'm sitting over here feeling superior.
No. No mistaking you for being superior at all. Don't worry about that. Got to get you down. Got to get you back to Houston sometime for another geek gathering too. So you know, hadn't seen you.
Yeah,
in a while.
December doesn't work great because my wife's birthday is always the first week of December, and so it tends to kind of. I've not yet figured out a way to nip off to Houston on the weekend for around her birthday. So maybe in January.
All right. So what is that noise? It sounds like it's still that plane noise. Yeah. It's like,
we're still at cruising altitude.
Ah, there it is. That's the signal that we can kind of wind our way out of here for the last, you know, few minutes and get ready to do that.
Come back
break
and fill again on the other side of the station break. Oh no, we have a call coming in.
Ah, but we don't have time. Hey. Not in this hour. But we'll have them up for.
But
the
don't
second
hang
hour.
Up. We'll
don't
get
hang
that
up. We'll get to you.
Yes.
Don't hang up. All right. Well, we're gonna just kind of wind our way out of here for the first hour of the show. Gonna leave you with this pleasant little music going on, and we're gonna collect ourselves and kind of freshen up for the second half of Technology Bites.
A little powder on our face.
Yeah. Gotta go to the little geek's room. Just gonna relax, take it easy. All right. Well, you're listening to Technology Bites. We'll be back in a little bit. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Roofhouse.
When you listen to KPFT, you hear things that you would expect to hear on a community radio station. Relevant news, the arts, great music. But when you tune to KPFT, you also hear things you wouldn't expect. You hear different perspectives that make you think about our world in a new way. Pacifica's mission statement is about building understanding between nations and people. What you hear on KPFT can have a profound effect on how you live. You listen to KPFT because it expands your understanding of yourself and of the world. And we can continue to bring you great ideas and culture because listeners like you contribute. So why wait for a pledge drive to support KPFT? Give a call to our membership department at 713-526-4000, extension 314. Again, that number is 713-526-4000, extension 314, to speak to our membership department and become a member. This is listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
No matter where you are on the political spectrum, KPFT is a daily check-in on the workings of democracy. Part of a democracy is an independent press and media. Media like this is supposed to be the check and balance on government. And community radio is one of the few media outlets left that is completely independent. That's why, in this age of the greatest media consolidation America has ever seen, having different voices out there is essential. KPFT has been around since 1970, and we have survived through the contributions of people like you. Listeners who donate to KPFT support us because they know that's what keeps KPFT independent. Why wait for a pledge drive? You can join KPFT online at kpft.org. Thomas Jefferson said, "People cannot be both ignorant and free." Help keep KPFT vibrant with your financial contribution. Visit kpft.org to join securely online. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Welcome back to Technology Bites. Yay! But there's no Barrett time. Boo!
No Barrett time.
Boo! I say.
The Barrett time matter was too charged.
Really?
A little bit. Yeah. I was joking around. I was going to do some stuff on like racism in video games, because we were joking around in the developer's room a day or so ago.
Ha ha, racism, it's so funny.
Well, we were talking about, there's like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out? You know, there was
a character
called, like, Pizza Pasta that was straight up Italian and just really, really over the top. And we're like, hold on, like, there was one character, he's like, that was totally racist. And we started thinking about all the other characters, like the Piston Honda, that they named a Piston Hondo. There was a like Vodka Drunkinsky that they had to change to Soda Popinski as a Russian stereotype. This was a lot of racism, and it really was. It was like every racial stereotype the Japanese could think up about almost every
American,
every culture out there, right? They got the Russians, they got the Italians, the Hispanic people, they covered all the bases. So I was going to kind of make fun of that, but it's kind of hard to make fun of racism still. But I was like, wow. So I played this game as a kid, and a lot of this was washed on. I mean, you know, it was lost on me. I had no idea this was going on. So I wonder, you know,
you were a victim.
I was a victim.
You're a victim of Japanese racism.
You mean all Japanese people can't catch swords with their bare hands?
Take that, American pig.
So yeah, it was pretty. So then I did some more research, and I was like, okay, are there racist video games? And like IGN and like 1UP.com, they've compiled lists of the top 10 racist video games. And Mike Tyson, that early Nintendo title, makes almost every single list.
Right.
Now, they do reach for a lot of the current games, which, you know, because now that it's super cheap to make a game, almost anyone can develop for mobile. You get a lot more fringe games. But, you know, this was when, you know, Nintendo had to make, you know, people sat around a boardroom table and voted yay or nay.
Well, what about misogyny?
Stuff. Yeah.
There's lots of misogyny in games.
Oh, yeah.
Games too.
Well, I'm a guy, so that's
right. But
kidding.
You don't.
Yeah, I'm kidding. That's a joke. See, that's what I mean. It's very hard to watch.
You may as well go ahead and play the baritone bed music, because we got us a baritone here, obviously.
Yeah, but I was kind of surprised, because now that I can, you know, now I've got a little bit better. You know, when you're eight, you don't really see stuff.
Well, also,
for what
it's different.
It is
those were different times.
Yeah, they were different times too. Maybe
right.
So a little
yeah,
bit, you know.
But there's a huge movement going on right now. I don't know how huge, but it seems huge. It seems like there's a lot of attention being paid to misogyny and rape culture in the geek community, especially with like conventions.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And where there have been a number of stories that I've read about people that are doing cosplay, and they may be dressed, especially women dressed in certain ways and doing cosplay, and having reporters come to the different conventions and ask them about, you know, what it's like to be, you know, basically a whore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very, very sexist, very kind of, you know, objectifying the women involved in geek culture.
Well, it's not just cosplay. It's serious conferences. There are stories out of South by Southwest and even CES and so forth.
Yeah.
Someone made a big grow at DEF CON a year or two ago saying, hey, you know, it's not cool how women are treated, or the women aren't really represented well there.
Right.
Yeah, the only article type in video gaming bigger, though, than the are women, is there misogyny, though, is articles about accurate breast physics in video games.
You mean Tomb Raider isn't 100% anatomically correct?
Well, you sort of wonder on the thought process. It's like, it's difficult enough writing an article. You know, you chose not to do a thing on racism in video games because it can be difficult to talk about. You know, you'd think that more people would wonder about that before they spent a long article writing, you know, about the various different options on that for video games.
Well, at the risk of sounding like I'm excusing any of it, I mean, a lot of the games were developed by and for people that were repressed in some ways. I mean, you know, guys that, you know, growing up as geeks who didn't know how to interact with members of the opposite sex and didn't get any attention, you know, positive reinforcement or positive attention from members of the opposite sex, they just kind of built upon their fantasies that were probably came
which
from...
Which involve comic books.
And isolation. I'm just talking about, like, you know, they're kind of alone with their own thoughts and they're manifesting their fantasies and they're able to draw it or create a game that allows them to live this out. And nowadays, geek culture is more accessible to non-geeks. I mean, people that are just, they're normal people. They're people that are socially, maybe socially well-adjusted and know how things work, but... The core group is the social batch of social malcontents who don't know what's going on.
Yeah, this geek chic is kind of whitewashed what actually goes on. Not that there's any kind of apology, you know, going on for this, but
right.
Yeah, you know, people need to go look at 4chan every once in a while to remember what goes on at 4chan. Or don't go do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting as the geek culture gets assimilated by modern culture, pop culture, and it's starting to blend together, and I think, you know, it has certainly started a number of dialogues that I think are beneficial and helpful in trying to raise awareness of how we treat our fellow human beings. But some of those people they don't know what they're doing. When they're interacting with other people, they don't know how it works, and they're doing the best they can. And I don't know if it's counterproductive to necessarily get in someone's face. And certainly you don't want to be put in a situation where you feel threatened or you feel like you're being abused. But to just kind of cast this blanket over and say, you all need to behave a certain way, I don't know if that's necessarily realistic. So interesting conversation, all started by Barrett Time. All right, what are you guys gesticulating in the other room about? What do y'all got going on in there? Y'all want to contribute to this conversation? Or do y'all just want to...
We're having a sidebar.
Are you going to just jabber amongst each other like a couple of chicks?
Approach the bench, please.
Oh, man.
We were just
commenting. Wow.
It's all 1980 right. Again.
Wow.
Send your complaints to...
Like I said, some people just don't know. Poor Pete. He's doing the best he can. He's only got a wife and three kids. I don't know.
And dogs.
Right. Yeah. He's kind of a role model to female children too. Doomed.
So we were talking about this speaking of video games, is that this is the 20th anniversary of the release of Doom. Which just kind of blew my mind. I love
Doom. Which was first, Doom or Castle Wolfenstein?
Castle Wolfenstein was, yeah.
There was Castle Wolfenstein, then
which
Wolfenstein.
I think was very unfair to Nazis and zombies.
I don't think you can be unfair to Nazis, but...
And especially Nazi zombies. No sympathy.
Yes.
At all.
Yes. And I just remember playing that game.
No, but the
hours
original,
and hours.
The original Wolfenstein was like 83.
Right, the okay. original, right.
Right, original Wolfenstein.
Which was a maze game.
It wasn't. Then Wolfenstein 3D
right.
was what, like 92?
It was more 93? Like 91. I think it was 90, because it was a while before Doom
okay.
came out. Doom was 93.
Okay.
And no one had ever seen anything like Wolfenstein 3D before. And
right.
And then Doom was just like this bloodfest, you know, when you... That was the first game in which you shot somebody with a rocket launcher and they splattered.
And a ton of sound, too.
Yes.
Like, several times my girlfriend in college would say, hey, could you turn that down?
Yes.
You have
see,
to
a,
turn that down.
I had a friend who played Wolfenstein 3D, and when Doom came out, he wanted to play Doom, but he had to stop playing it because the head bobbing made him motion sick.
Right. My wife couldn't play
it. He didn't know how to turn it off.
I remember playing it and my kids seeing it for the first time coming in behind me. And
what's Daddy doing?
What is that? And eventually, you know, they used to like, okay, you can watch for a little while. because it was just so gory. And then, you know, it wasn't long before they were killing me in death matches regularly. So I would love to, like, get up a Doom or a Quake game and have a LAN party.
Now, you said you actually gamed with one of the Johns. Was it not Carmack?
No, I went with the
whole crew. Tell us about your Johns.
Yes, so how many Johns do you have?
Both John and two Johns, as a matter of fact. This was, no, when I was, I wrote a lot about the id Software guys when Doom and Quake came out, and I went up there while they were working on some of these games, and I got to play some deathmatch with them in their offices. Which was a blast, and I was just completely lame. I have always been lame at first person shooters, but I love them. My handle was the Llama King. That's how.
Not the Lava King.
No, the Llama King. The Llama King.
You fragged Carmack?
I fragged Romero once, and he never. and then he came
never up. let you off the hook.
No. Whenever he killed me.
Did you ever get invited back to ID after that?
I went up there several times and interviewed them, and as new games came out, and it was really interesting. It was very small, and they had a real, you know, they were like in the same set of offices. They had a receptionist who they called Mom, who kind of the actual person who ran the place. And it was just it was a really cool time to be there because they were building something that ultimately would have a huge impact on computing. I mean, one of the drives towards 3D imagery on screen, both, you know, even for operating systems, came from the work that they did in 3D gaming. So it was, you know, I'm kind of really grateful that I got a chance to be there and see that.
Back then, when newspaper print media was king and promoting video games.
That's right. That's right. I remember that I went up there. I forget exactly what story I did, but it was one of the many ones I did. And the Houston Press did some. I think it was Rich Connolly did a story mocking me as being a grown man playing video games. And little did he know,
you
know.
I am the future.
That's right. It was the future.
Little did he know how easy it would be to mock you.
I don't remember if it was the Chronicle that did this or he did it, but somebody took one of those Doom helmets and photoshopped it on my head. And ran that with one of the stories. So, but you know, it turned out to be that was pretty important stuff back then. We have calls.
We do. 713-526-5738. If you want to get in the queue, we do have two calls on the line. Plenty of open lines. Plenty of time. If you want to dial in 713-526. KPFT Groove House.
Yes.
House Groove.
Yes.
Who do we have up first?
Up first on the second half of the show, we're going to start it off with Mike.
Mike, turn down your radio.
Hey, my company has just pried Windows XP out of my cold, dead hands and have loaded me up to Windows 7, so I'm only one generation back. One problem I have is that the search function don't seem to be nearly as effective in Windows 7. Is there a switch that I haven't thrown? Is there something hidden deep within the menus that turn it on? But when I try to find items with the search function from the start button, I'm just not getting many hits.
Windows 7 doesn't index the entire... You need to turn your radio down, please.
I don't have it on at all.
Are you on a speakerphone?
I
was just hearing a lot of feedback from myself. All right. Windows 7 does not index all folders readily, from what I remember. That tends to index like your My Documents folder. And where are the files that you're trying to find? Where are they stored?
Well, they're sort of scattered across three directories besides the My Documents directory.
How long have you had this machine?
Well, it's just been a matter of weeks.
Because when you initially set up a Windows 7 machine, nothing is indexed, and it takes a while to index what's on the hard drive. In fact, a lot of people who set up Windows 7 at first said, wow, this is really slow. And it was really slow because it was running the indexer. And then eventually it kind of speeds up.
That is also symptomatic.
Right. So it could. Do you have? Is this a lot of stuff on your hard drive?
Yeah, I'm a bibliophile.
Oh, well, see, it may still be indexing. The one thing you may want to do is see if you can kick off a manual index. I forget where that. I think it's in the control panel, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, still, there's a way to search your hard drive in Windows 7 without just using the start and search, right?
Right. Well, you can search from any folder window. You can search from any folder window.
Right. Okay.
And so if you know approximately where it is, start there.
Okay.
So, like, change to that folder.
Right. I don't search on Windows 7. I don't search from the start menu. That's almost, I can think of that more like a launcher for programs.
Right.
But,
if you actually open up a folder, like you open up your My Documents folder, for example, then you'll have a search box at the top of that Windows Explorer window that you can type in the search what you want to do. So you may want to also consider, you know, consolidating where you're keeping your files. So, like, if you have a bunch of folders with different documents in them, you might want to consolidate those folders under one primary folder.
You can also make a virtual library folder that combines, that essentially are pointers to where all your other stuff is, and then you search in just that one place.
Would searching a folder full of shortcuts actually create a usable search?
Well, if you're searching a folder, when you say a folder full of shortcuts.
I'm sorry. I was trying to wrap my head around what you said about creating.
In other words, if you go into the Documents folder in Windows 7,
yes.
It shows you different types of. Those are actually like they're actually symlinks, I think is what they're called in other operating systems. And they're essentially pointers to multiple locations. And you can add and subtract from those it's not the same thing as a shortcut, really.
Okay. Obviously, there's something I'm grossly ignorant of, and we'll actually have to stop and read the documentation.
Well, this is a computer that's provided to you by your employer?
Yes, that's right. Not surprisingly, I also have the inverse problem. I have duplicate files scattered through subdirectories. I've seen a couple of programs here and there on the web that purport to be able to positively identify duplicate files and discard unnecessary ones or replace them.
Yes,
with,
there's a number of programs out there that are designed to find duplicate files, and they look at the actual file and the contents of the file. And so if you have two files that are the same name, it'll look to see if they both have the same data in them and allow you to remove the duplicates.
Is there one that you would recommend?
I don't have one that I recommend off the top of my head. There's a number of them out there. Trying to think.
PhoneSpy is one that if I can say that on the air.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's one that a couple of blogs seem to think was effective.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, read the reviews and see what they say and see if they offer, some of them offer free trials and so forth. There's one called Duplicate File Finder or Dupe Files, DUPFILES.
Okay.
A number of these that I've seen, they all kind of basically work the same way.
Back when you had to chisel your data entry into stone before you put it into the hard disk reader, there was a program called Magellan.
Yes, yep.
Which also created a match score so that you could identify files that were subsets of other files, and particularly email trains. Eliminate the subfiles and just keep the one that had all of the subs. Is there anything out there like that now?
I haven't looked at those kind of programs in a long time.
The hard disks have become too cheap.
Yeah. What do you got, Garrett?
Just one last thing you may want to do is once, you know, like Dwight said, once all the indexing is done, if you actually go into, like, you know, the file manager and you just click on options, And there's a search tab. It'll be like general view and search. And on that, you can actually say, like, hey, I want to search the contents of the files, not just the files. Hey, I want to search zip files.
Remember to start your searches with hey.
Yeah. Actually, in which case, you would want to click use natural language search, and it might work. That's an option. But, yeah, you can actually – you can't dial it in a whole bunch, but you've got a few options for Windows search. So you
but don't call it Siri because then it won't work.
Say, okay, Google.
Yeah. So is there a third-party search program that anyone has found really good or effective?
There are a number of them out there. There was one that Google Toolbar used to have a search feature.
Toolbar is no more.
Is it no more?
Yeah.
We got a corporate policy problem with that one.
If you know, there's this global network where you can type in searches. I was thinking there's a couple of indexers, a couple of search. So I would say Windows 7 search utility.
And actually Microsoft, there's a Bing hard drive search that uses Bing to search your hard drive. And it's and in fact, if you're in Windows Update, it will offer it to you in Windows Update.
There's also, if you Google search Windows 7 search alternatives, there are, I hate that feedback. There's a number of sites that compare different search utilities that you can try. There are tons of them out there.
Are those the ones that are filed under NSA?
Yes.
Okay.
They've already found you.
Enjoy your program. I've listened to you for years, and I can't think of another radio station that would allow folks to come on enjoy themselves in such a geeky way for as many years as y'all have.
That's true. Thanks. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
I like Find in Unix, and Locate's good too.
Diff.
I like knowing where my files are. You know, I name my file. I mean, I don't have
it's
any problem.
It's a healthy dose of organization.
Not nothing close to a healthy dose of organization, but I know basically where like all my image files are, and I name my folders accordingly. It's like, oh, I need to find that folder full of blah. I mean, big data is becoming a problem too. I mean, I've got tons and tons of files now. All right, Groove House.
I got big data.
I cannot lie.
I cannot find.
All you other geeks would deny.
Wow, Pete for the win. All right. So 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. If you would like to be on the air with us here tonight, we've got time and open lines. We also have a call in the queue, Groove House.
Yes.
Who is it?
Up next, we are going to speak with Mike.
Mike, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes.
Yes.
I got a little levity for the season. It's 9:30. Do you know where your children are?
I don't have any children.
I figured that. Okay. Talking about lost phone, I got a whole litany. The reason I've stayed with T-Mobile for 15 years or whatever is because I've dunked or washed a phone about once every year and a half. So, but the best one, I'm a 75-year-old guy. And my children gave me an iPad last year, which I hardly use. Yeah, it still blinks 12, if you know what I mean. There's some people know some old ones there. And I went down, we have a job in Atlanta, it's called babysitting. So I was covering the babysitting routine, and I was talking a lot to somebody, some reporter about Prague, where we both lived for a while. So I jump in the Xterra, take off home, and I get home and say, where's the iPad? It slipped off the top of the Xterra into the middle of 10th Street. You all know anything about Atlanta. Near Peachtree.
I know where that is.
Someone called me and said, we have your iPad. Well, it turns out that they knew my daughter and they recognized my name. But that was the extreme of losing. The only phone I've never been able to lose is from the 1980s or something, when it was a 200-watt transmitter in the back of my car. I mounted them in the trunk. And and it transponded up to shell one antenna. It cost me a quarter a call. So, just for grins. I miss you guys. I'm still not in Houston. I'm in Atlanta now, but I'm just visiting.
Well, we're glad you're here visiting.
I'm a dog sitting.
I'm integrated.
See, try that. If you don't have any kids, get a dog.
I've got a parrot.
Ah, worst thing you can have.
Wow.
All right, have a good time.
All right, you too. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
I miss your program.
Well,
I'll come back and dog sit more often.
Yeah, you do that.
You can listen to us online.
All right.
Well, how do you do that? Can you do it on an iPad?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. Can you? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye. Don't move to Atlanta.
And if you do, make sure your daughter's popular.
That sounds wrong. Wow. You clearly don't have kids.
Good thing you don't have kids or a dog. Wow. All right. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, if you'd like to be on the air with us. All of our lines are open. Group houses at loose ends. Need to do something about that. Look at that. He's like that, like one of those
inflatable.
They're not inflatable. The ones that the floppy people that are out in front that have the fan.
Car dealership things. Yeah. Or those special event things.
Those things are hypnotizing, too.
So this is jumping forward a little bit. But I think if you're listening on KPFT, we have different programming today after our show's over.
Is that today? Does that start today?
I think it may be because it on the sheet of things I'm supposed to do, it doesn't say explorations anymore.
Doesn't.
So this might be the first. I don't remember what week it was supposed to start, but this might be it.
Okay. It could start today. All right. Well, locally here in Houston, we do have our own special programming that happens here at KPFT. But if you're listening globally or listening on one of our affiliates, your programming might be different. But it's changing for us because here in Houston, Michio Kaku's Explorations comes on after our show. And that's changing to something else.
I think it's next week, actually.
Yeah.
I think so.
So we have nothing coming out after this show here in Houston. It'll just be dead air for an hour. Dead hour.
Am I right?
I don't know. It says it on the thing. It says the show title it's supposed to be on.
Oh, okay.
We shall see.
Elf on the Shelf, the inside story.
That's right.
All right. 713-526-5738. The most important thing is if you're listening live here in Houston, Texas, or via the stream live, then we are taking calls. We're answering questions. We're doing the best. We're giving you our best guess. We've taken your six geeks and replaced them with well-meaning old guys, and they're going to do their best.
Speaking of The Walking Dead, is it over for this season?
it's kind of the mid-season break.
Mid-season break, speaking of The Walking Dead.
I got some time like Tuesday. I'm like, I watched it after the fact, and I went to go look, and there's no new Walking Dead. And I was like,
no, and also the Sons of Anarchy season.
Don't spoil that.
Not going to spoil it. I haven't seen it. Yeah.
I'm going to spoil it right now.
No, don't. They
make bad decisions.
There's a bunch of motorcycle guys make bad decisions and accidentally kill somebody.
Somebody dies.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think they move to New Mexico and start making meth.
I have a recommendation for a show that has people returning from the dead, but it's not a zombie.
Yes, The Returned.
The Returned.
That is awesome.
Wow.
It is awesome. It's one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. It's French. I got the recommendation for it. Right, it has subtitles. Got the recommendation for it from Stephen King, who joined Twitter this week.
You're like best buds now.
And we're best buds, and he was talking about how creepy it was, and I thought, well, any show that Stephen King thinks creeps Stephen King out is worth checking out. And, like, it's the kind of thing where we watch it, and I say to my wife, okay, one more. Let's watch one more.
So they're not undead and they're not zombies, but the people come back to life, but they're not sure if it's really them or not. Or
no, it is them. Pod people.
It's no spoilers.
No, it's no spoiler. It's just what the premise is.
Okay.
Some people who died come back to a small town in France. They show up. They don't remember anything after they passed the event where they died, and they come back and
they're looking normal like they were at the time they died.
There's some little tiny hints that maybe they're not
exactly the same, but it is the same person. The people who know them recognize them and all that. And the thing is, it keeps adding questions, and you keep trying to put together what's really going on, and it keeps building that up. And they don't do, you know, American shows tend to, like, pay off by the end of the episode. They don't do that, and so it keeps you very engaged.
Sounds a little bit like the 4400 that flopped a little while ago.
Kind of, yeah, a little bit.
It's on the Sundance channel, and you can watch it free online as well.
Yeah, it's and if you have iTunes, it's a purchase.
And it's all subtitled?
Yes, it's subtitled. So if you don't like to read your television, then, you know. But it's so good.
What season?
Is addictive.
This is the first season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the original. It's the first season.
It's on Netflix?
No, it's on iTunes. It's on Sundance channel.
It's not
cable.
Free?
Pete says you can watch it. Can you watch it all free online, Pete, or just the first episode?
I thought you could watch. I think you can watch multiple episodes. Isn't it? I wonder if it's on Sundance. I just know my wife watched. She watched them online, and then rewatching
what's it called
them,
again? The Returned.
They did like a marathon on Sundance Channel, and I got sucked in and watched them with her when she rewatched them. But it sounded like she could watch all of them online. She was mostly restraining herself from going and watching the rest of them after she saw the first five.
Yeah, according to this, anybody know if The Returned is ever going to make it to Sundance On Demand? And that apparently it's not on demand right now. Can you pay for it in croissants?
No, Apple does not accept croissants. Sadly.
Isons. All right, 713-526-5738. Groovehouse, I see you have a call in the queues. In the queues.
Yes, I do.
All right, who's it? Who is it?
All right, up
who's
next.
Who's it?
Who's it?
Who dat?
Up next on the show, we're going to speak with John.
John, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Very good. Well, y'all talking through the most stuff I do not understand. So, anyhow. I heard that they are going to take out these old phone lines, the copper lines, and you know, the old phones, and the copper lines, they'll get them out of the ground. So are they going to replace them with fiber optics, or people supposed to use cell phones, or how are they going to...
Well, they're not taking out the copper lines just yet.
No one's digging anything up.
Still, a lot of the phone, you know, the majority of the phone service delivered the same way it always has been and will continue to be delivered that way.
They're not going to bury any more copper, probably, but...
But you'll see more phones migrating over to cable and Ethernet and fiber optics and so forth as that kind of infrastructure is built out. What's your concern?
I was asking about replacement of it. I mean, do they use fiber optics, or how do they use to have those lines?
A lot of the backhaul stuff, like a lot of the stuff you don't see, once it gets out of the house, it goes into fiber anyway. Like, gone are the days where you have these huge rooms where you have mechanical switches actually connecting circuits of copper strands of wire. Like, chances are it's copper up until it gets, like, that big box, you know, in your neighborhood, and then from there it's fiber anyway.
AT&T is planning, says it wants to end offering landline service at all by 2020.
Oh.
So that means that probably what you'll end up with, you can have what's called voice over IP, where you still have what looks and acts like a landline, but it's going over the Internet. Or you could have a cell phone, but they essentially want to get out of the business of doing landlines over traditional copper by 2020. The FCC may or may not let them, because that's still a regulated business.
I don't think there's anything to worry about in terms of your phone service, though.
Mm-hmm. You'll have something that will work similarly to that.
I think the reality is it came from more than a decade ago, when the amount of data that was going over the Internet, over the phone system for the Internet, started to get bigger than the voice data, and now voice data is such a tiny piece of the amount of raw data going around the world that it doesn't make sense to have, you know, dedicated wires for phone calls anymore.
Okay, all right. Well, the fiber optic can be used for phone, guys.
You can transmit incredible amounts of data over fiber optic cables.
Yeah, you can put almost a million times. Like, you could put a million copper lines and carry that much data in one fiber optic cable. So there's no
A lot of your calls are transferred to fiber optics to go overseas or to go cross country right now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your call. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much, sir. Right. Thank you.
That's why Sprint was so clear. You could hear a pin drop. they were the one of the first people, right, to do like large fiber outlays across the nation.
It's gonna be interesting. AT&T right now, there's a big brouhaha in Austin because Google Fiber wants to come in. I think, like, the city of Austin owns 80% of the poles, like the lamp poles, whatever those are called, electrical poles, because they don't bury wires in Austin like they don't do here in Houston. City owns 80%. AT&T owns 20%. But they don't want to give Google the right to hang fiber on the poles because they're saying, look, you're not a regulated telecom. You're not any of these things. So the city council is trying to come in and force the hand, and it's all just a big mess. Because AT&T is saying, hey, we're a telecom, but also we don't want to be a telecom, so... Identity crisis.
Yeah, well, and also once Google said they were going into Austin, suddenly Time Warner and AT&T found ways that they could offer, you know, real high speed internet to Austin homes, which they apparently prior to that, you know, technology had just been so limited they couldn't do it.
That's a really cool coincidence.
Once there was competition,
you know?
They stepped up.
Eventually, it's all just going to be beamed directly into your molars. It's gonna, you know, what?
I shouldn't have had my wisdom teeth pulled.
Oh no, you lost your best receivers.
I still have my molars.
Yeah, you still have your molars, but wisdom teeth—that's the best. Spam, almost spam-free telecommunications directly to your brain. 713-526-5738. It is only 35 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. If you're listening live here in Central Standard Time, we've got plenty of time left. We could still, you know, guess our way out of a paper bag for a little while longer if you wanted to dial in 713-526-5738. 713. Groove House is practicing some kind of groove.
Uncle Martin. Sorry.
Yes. I don't know how I'm feeling about the holidays. Are you going to, anybody traveling for Christmas? Going to get out of here? No? Stick around?
Nope. I'm going to hunker down in the ice storm.
I'm going to hunker down on the cone of uncertainty with Christmas. I'm debating whether I should get myself something nice. I've had a few nice things that I've bought myself.
Yeah, treat yourself, you know? You deserve it.
Go ahead, Jay. Get something nice. Get something
for
your camera.
Get yourself a new laptop. Oh, yeah. You already did.
I got a new laptop. I got a new desktop.
Got lenses. What could you want?
I don't know.
What does Jay want for Christmas? Tell Santa.
We're going to sit on the white slap.
I want the complete set of the Walking Dead comics.
Really?
For Christmas.
Are those available? Can you buy them?
You can buy them in like multiple compendiums, but it's really expensive. I mean, it would be
because they're collector's item.
It's just because there's so many of them.
A whole lot of them.
So are they in current print right now? I mean,
And you can get them digitally. So there's like an iPad app where you can actually read all of them on the iPad app, but it is very expensive to do. It's like $250 to get all of them. And I mean, that may be shortchanging it. But that's what I want for Christmas. Okay, Lisa, you hear that? That's what I want.
I think what I might do is I've been wanting to do something photographically, and this is not... I want to take I've got a Sigma 10mm lens that's designed for crop sensor cameras. And because it's designed for crop sensor lens, it's got this hood on it that, like, if you put it on a full-frame camera, you see the hood. So I want to get the hood shaved. There's one guy in, like, Germany who will shave the hood off without destroying the lens. What? Are you
nothing at all.
Yeah, you are.
Crop factor stuff, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wheat.
So I'm thinking
that's
about sending it off to Germany to have the lens hood shaved, unless somebody has a machine shop here who thinks they can do it.
Hey, I can do it.
Unless there are like any kind of amateur astronomers that would be able to tackle something like that around JSC, but I would go with the known.
Yeah, I've got to send it off to Germany to do it, but that's what I'm thinking about doing for Christmas.
If you buy me a Dremel for Christmas, I'll do it.
Dremel, Dremel, Dremel. I'm cutting you for J.
I'll do Dremel, it for a Dremel, Dremel, but you'd have to buy me some Bactine, too. That's not going to end well.
713-526-5738. All the phone calls have dried up. We're floundering for content right now here on Technology Bites. You can bail us out at 713-526.
Are we down to pity calls? No, we're not down to pity calls.
Have any of y'all run Linux Mint?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
I didn't run it for very long. It was kind of when I was looking around
for
a new desktop.
Were you playing or you didn't like it?
I was just playing. Nothing jumped out at me. So I keep running back to, I always flirt with like desktop kind of distros, but I always run back to server distros and just throw a window manager on there. So I prefer, I like CentOS, actually.
CentOS.
I tried to run Ubuntu, but I'm, 3.10 and,
Ubuntu.
See, I like KDE more than I like GNOME. So right there, that's kind of a bad distro for
me. I used to like KDE and then I like GNOME 2, but then when they went to GNOME 3, it's horrible. Which Fedora went to GNOME 3, and that's just junk.
We're watching Jay Lee's got.
I got a video.
A spinning Dremel with expensive optics.
Yeah, where somebody's taking an expensive cutter and trying to cut the, he's actually succeeding in cutting the hood off this lens because it's a metal hood built into the lens. And if you get it cut off, then you put this lens on a full frame camera and you get an almost fully circular 2.8 fisheye with autofocus. And you can't find it for the Sony mount. If you're shooting Nikon or you're shooting a Canon, you could find this lens as you need it. But for us Sony shooters, you have to actually take a tool and cut it. So anyway.
It looks like a good way to lose a finger.
I'm not worried about losing the finger because I'm going to have somebody else do it. So it's their finger, but it's my lens. Now, the guy in Germany, he guarantees his work. He says if he destroys the lens, he'll replace it.
So if I was going to download Linux Mint and run it in a Parallels, what would you recommend? Which of these distros? There's Linux Mint 16, Linux Mint Debian.
I mean, I would get Petra.
Petra?
That's the latest one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get either Mate or Cinnamon.
Latte or Cinnamon.
Mate.
Mate.
Mate. Like a yerba mate.
Mate or Cinnamon?
It's Cinnamon. Is it cinnamon? Have I been reading it wrong?
Cinnamon?
Or pumpkin
cinnamon.
Spice?
Cinnamon. Yeah.
Do they come as an ISO file?
Cinnabuntu.
That's an awesome distro. Yummy.
But Mate is based on modified GNOME 2, I think. And Cinnamon's based on modified GNOME
3. How fast
GNOME
can we download one of these and install it into Parallels? So which one would you... Which one do you want? Which one do you think we should get?
I'm getting Petra.
Petra?
I'm doing it now.
You can do USB stick support with Petra. Throw it on a USB and just boot from there.
No.
You want to do VM. You want to do VM.
Hold on. I screwed that pooch. Hold on a minute. Let me go back here.
Petra Mint ISO. So we're going to
install CentOS in Diet Coke.
Okay, so XFCE edition, you think? Or...
Yeah, that's a super lightweight Windows manager.
No, I want the most heavy duty. Oh, rejected, approved for release. Let's try this one. i386. Oh, there's AMD 64.
The whole idea behind Mint is that it's a super lightweight distro. It's not going to be laden down with a whole bunch of stuff.
I'll do this at home. This is too slow, and this
it's not downloading very fast.
No. See if you can find a
start sounding like a robot.
See if you can find an Enlightenment distro of Lint. Lint.
Lint.
I gave up Mint for Lint.
I needed to install a Linux distro, and I've run Fedora. I mean, I've run CentOS and Red Hat Enterprise. I've run Fedora. I've run Ubuntu. I used to run FreeBSD. I was thinking about trying Mint because I want it to be something that's probably like kind of similar to Windows interface, circa XP or something.
All right, this says 4 minutes left, so we'll see what happens.
Cinnamon. Liniment.
Cinnamon.
liniment.
I don't think I can get it downloaded.
Excuse me, I'm going to brace myself.
6 hours, 5 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour, 1 hour left, 1.2 gig. All right, Groovehouse has a call on the line. That's awesome. Save us from installing Linux on our virtual machines. That should do it. 27 minutes, 26 minutes. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have?
Up next on the show, we're going to speak with Joe.
Joe, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys. I can barely hear you, so I just give my question and listen off the air.
Okay.
But I've got the Microsoft Office license that expired.
No.
And, I don't want to buy it again. It's too expensive. I'm wondering about alternatives. I've used a software package called OpenOffice that will handle things like Microsoft Word and Excel. But I'm curious about other alternatives because it will not open, OpenOffice will not open Microsoft Publisher files. Have you guys got any ideas?
Nothing will open Publisher files. And I'm curious... Microsoft Office licenses don't expire.
Office 365. Did you?
Well, yeah, you got it. Now you have to buy it as a subscription.
No, but if you have it installed, like what version of Office did you have?
I don't remember.
If you had a copy of Office with Publisher, you have a key. That's lifetime. That will.
But I got a special deal through my employer. And I'm not with that company.
Oh, I see. You got the home use program, and that they pulled it from you. It didn't really expire, but you're no longer licensed to use it.
Yeah, I guess that's a better way to explain it, right?
Yeah. I have not found anything that will deal with Publisher files or that acts like Publisher in any of the other Office suites. It's one of the reasons why I keep a copy of Office 2003 around for my wife, because she loves Publisher.
I was a big fan of Publisher. I think it's really easy to use. And
you might be able to find an OEM copy of an older version of Office, though.
Yeah, I might go that route.
2003 or 2007, if you look around for one, you might be able to find, you know, the install media and a license key, but I don't...
I've seen them on Amazon. It's still surprisingly pricey, but it's an option.
Yeah, there's nothing that I have found that replaces Publisher. Now, there are other programs that are designed for building newsletters and stuff like that. You might be able to find something like that for cheaper.
I'm using Scribus, which is free, so that's a really good price.
Yeah.
But the learning curve that I'd prefer to avoid. Okay. Well, I appreciate all the time. All the same, guys.
All right. Thanks for your call. All right. Bye.
Baby Quark Express.
jokes that are only funny to us. All right, 713-526-573. We're winding down here now. Technically kind of winding down, but we still have time. If you wanted to be on the air with us, looks like Groovehouse might be fielding a call as we speak. So that's good. So I don't know. What are you going to do? What are you going to get for Christmas, Dwight?
Well, I'm hoping, for the Walking Dead, but I kind of don't say, hey, I want this or this or this. But I kind of would like that collection of all the Walking Dead comics, or even maybe a substantial amount of them.
Can you break that down into separate purchases on your Amazon wish list and farm that out?
I could. That's an excellent crowdsourcing.
Crowdsourcing.
I could crowdsource my Christmas present. That's a very good idea, Jay.
I wonder how much you could crowdsource that to your Twitter followers. How many?
I would not go to my Twitter followers and beg for money.
No, you'd beg for Walking Dead comics. There's a difference.
That's better than money.
Not going to do that.
Okay, well, you can still crowdsource it to your family.
I can crowdsource
that it way. No one person is responsible for completing it all. But it's like your geek registry, you know.
Yeah.
Tim Heller, who's I follow on Facebook and Twitter, and we're kind of friends online, not so much in person, but he's the weatherman for ABC 13. He got one of his kids sent him his Amazon wish list,
mm-hmm.
and that was the first he'd ever seen of such a thing, and it just kind of blew his mind. So, you know, there'd be a way of educating your family to your wish list, and you can make things available for them to purchase for you for other occasions.
Yeah, I think there's an iTunes wish list, isn't there? Isn't there a wish list feature in iTunes?
I'm sure any online store in existence has a way.
ThinkGeek have a wish list?
Yes.
So what I would do is I would say I'd do it in there because I want to get it on my iPad. I want to read it.
Well, yeah. So there would be that possibility, but crowdsource it. But I still think having
the sound file when you text them to be Walking Dead comics. So when every time you text them on their phone, it'll say Walking Dead comics for Dad.
Walking Dad.
The Walking Dad. Here I am, a 57-year-old man, and I'm begging for comic books. It's so sad.
Get him some Archie comics.
But I was always...
This is just as good.
I was always a comic junkie when I was a kid. I just haven't...
All right, well, we had a flurry of calls come in.
All right, let's flurry.
Go ahead. Groovehouse.
Flurry away. All right, up next, we are going to speak with John.
John, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Good evening. Last week, I heard y'all discussing this new little doodad called
Chromecast.
Chromecast, yes, sir.
Yes.
And I have a Nook HD. The operating system is something called a 2.1. I have no idea what else. I have a couple of little videos downloaded in it. And I can get on CNN and watch all the news, little videos, etc. Would the Chromecast doodad work, or will my Nook work with...
Do you have the Nook or the Nook HD Plus?
Nook HD.
Yes, it will. Well, you can install Android apps on there, and they're saying that you can actually install Chromecast on there.
I have to install...
You have to install an app called Chromecast that's designed to take the content that you're... looking at it. You have to, it's basically like a Chrome browser on the Nook. So anything that you view inside of the Chrome browser can then use Chromecast to send it to the device and show it on your television.
Wow. Well, now you say any content within the Chrome browser.
Yes.
Okay, a couple of these little videos I have are in what I would call a library. They're standalone.
Then you would not be able to view those on the Chromecast.
Not right now.
Okay,
yeah. Eventually, I think Pete was mentioning last week that they want to get to the point where you can play back local media, but it's not there right now. And that's going to be guaranteed, like, on your official Nexus devices. The Nook just kind of, like, happens to run Chromecast because it's Android. They may not officially support that. So just be wary.
Okay, so if I'm... in CNN News, which comes in through a
web browser
with Chrome, then I can project that to the TV and everything will work. Is there a lot of manipulation on the Nook or behind the TV and pushing buttons?
No, you basically have to, you plug the device into the HDMI port, then you're going to have to switch the input from cable to that port. So it's you're looking at input coming on that port. And then you would just send it from the device to that device.
Okay, how does it get from the Nook?
Over your wireless.
Over the wireless.
Yeah, okay. Over your wireless. Wi-Fi.
Okay, bear with me. Okay, the CNN is coming in through my wireless to my Nook.
Yes.
So that means I'm hooked up.
The Nook has to be connected to your Wi-Fi, which it will be, because that's how you're receiving your internet.
Yes, sir.
The Chromecast makes an association with your Wi-Fi as well. It becomes a device on your wireless network that the Chromecast can then see.
Yes, sir.
All right?
The Nook sees the Chromecast on your wireless network.
Yeah, it sees it as a device that it can then send the data. When you send it to the Chromecast then starts pulling that content from the internet. It's not really pulling it from the Nook anymore. Once you cast it,
that's called throwing.
Throwing. When you throw it from your Nook to the Chromecast device, then the Chromecast then receives the stream over the Wi-Fi from your internet connection and displays it on your TV.
But just to be clear, don't throw your Nook HD at your TV.
No, that would
cast
be
it.
Cast it.
It's all in the wrist.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good luck. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Who's up next, Groovehouse?
Up next on the speed round. We are going to take Joe.
Joe, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I really like your show. Been listening for a while. Hey, I have a question. I installed Mavericks here a few months, when he first came out, actually, on a late 09 iMac.
Mm-hmm.
And the only, I'm happy with it. The only thing that I've noticed is on Safari, it seems like every time I go to a different website, the font changes to a very small font. And it only, I have a 27-inch iMac, and it only stays like just a small portion of the middle. You know, I have to manually change the font every time to make it bigger, you know. Is that a setting?
You have a 27-inch iMac?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a 27-inch iMac running Mavericks, but I was also running the previous version because I got it right before Mavericks came out. And I noticed that when you fire up a browser, it does not come up full screen.
Uh-huh.
And I sometimes have to zoom in. You don't actually have to change the font size. You can actually zoom into the web page. So if it's showing as too small, is there a gesture that will actually let you zoom in on the Magic Mouse or the Mighty Mouse or whatever it is?
Yeah, I think if you just double tap it,
double tap it, it'll spread it out.
Right. But is that something just changed with Mavericks? Or
I don't think it changed.
I had that problem before.
Now,
are you using Safari?
Yes.
It may be a function of Safari, actually, because they made some changes to Safari. Does it do it in other browsers?
My wife uses Firefox. I don't really use it. I guess I would have to try it.
Yeah, see if it does it in that. I think it may be a function of Safari. I don't use Safari. I use Chrome on the Mac. And I have seen, when I have used Safari, I've seen some different behaviors than were there originally. So it may be the way it renders it has changed.
Yeah, because that's really the only thing that I have a complaint, I guess. You know, everything else seems to work fine. It's just kind of strange to me that it just shows like just in the middle of the screen and not the full width, and also, you know, the font.
Yeah. Well, play around with it. Maybe try Chrome and see if that does a little better for you.
Okay.
All right, thanks for your call. We got to
let's cut it short.
Thank you.
All right, last up on the show, we are going to speak with Mac.
Mac, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
What's going to happen?
Got a question. I got a 27 Mac as well.
Okay.
And when I look at my storage, I have like 10 gigs left. And I'm trying to delete files, but it's all the files that I have, it shows to be other, that yellow bar. And I don't know how to find those files. Is there a way to find exactly what those files are? Because before, when I did that, it was Pixelmator, like some projects I was working on in Pixelmator, but now those are gone and it's still a lot less.
What is that? there's a program that I use on my Mac to search for files and see what all it's using up hard drive space, and it shows you with the
right. I use it too, but I don't think I have it on this one.
I open a terminal window and use the find command, size greater than, works great.
I can't remember the name of the program, but if you'll send me an email, there's a utility.
Right. And it maps it. It shows it
basically,
you
the map. What you do is you kick it off, it scans the whole hard drive, and it says, okay, here's all your big offenders, and you can sort by size, which folder's using the most, what kind of files they are. Let's see if I can...
I had a program, but once I upgraded to Maverick, it doesn't work with that program now.
God, I can't remember the name of the program. Let's see how to locate losing. You'll just have to email me. I'll find the program if I do a little quick search or look on my home computer. I've got it loaded on there. It's like Disk X. Is it Disk X? Dwight?
I'm looking now. That isn't what I remember.
Disk Inventory X.
Disk Inventory X.
Yes, right, Disk right. Inventory X. It's a free program, and it's great.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call. All right, if I had to guess, it was Disk Inventory X.
All right.
Close.
Disk X.
Just in time, too.
Yeah, and there's the same program available for Windows, and it works great. It's not called Disk Inventory X, though. All right, you're listening to Technology Bytes. We've got to get out of here. Stick around. More programming coming your way. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groove House. Good morning, Ithaca.
Inspiring and informative experience you find here on KPFT begins with you. Your contribution enriches the lives and the culture of our community, creating moments of wonder that can last a lifetime. You can make a difference today. This is week two of our online giving campaign. Your donation now helps out this nonprofit radio station to survive and to thrive. Make a special tax-deductible year-end gift now, safely and securely at kpft.org. You are the key to sustaining the extraordinary news and music you find on KPFT every day. Stand behind radio that matters. Make your donation at kpft.org today. Thank you. This is KPFT Houston.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on Twitter, visit twitter.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT.